This is a new dimension in sound.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog. And a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Welcome back to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can reach us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. Today we're playing Stump the Boz. If you can come up with a question regarding a D1 recruit in the state of Illinois and Stump the Boz, we'll send you to Wildfire or Lou Malnati's for pizza or seafood steak or chops at Wildfire.
All right, so before our next guest comes on, do we want to talk a little bit about Northwestern's Kevin Coble? I was going to ask you. I'm glad you brought him up. I like his game. I don't know. He's fundamentally sound. He plays hard. He's smart. Is he an NBA player?
No, he'll be a 10-year European player.
Okay.
And really, he'll make a lot of money there. Maybe he'll play in Sweden. He looks like he could be a Swedish ball player.
Fit in there. Okay.
But no, terrific ball player. Very impressed with his court sense. Of course, we saw him on his best game. I mean, he scored 25 points. He's been averaging 12 points a game. So we caught him on a very nice game.
Well, that's something we can ask Mark when we get him on, too, because that's his business, right, to decide if a guy's an NBA guy or a European guy to some degree. I guess the general managers do that, but he'll have a good feel for it. We've got you want to go over our picks in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, I believe.
I had us at 3-8.
Yeah, so you were two games off.
Two games off.
Right, and the Big Ten almost won, 6-5. If we would have beat Clemson, that would have got us over the hump. But there were some close games. How about Michigan? They're playing pretty well, beating a couple good teams.
I thought that the Big Ten played much better than I anticipated they would. At the top, the Big Ten looked woefully outclassed against North Carolina and Duke. Beyond that, though, I thought all nine games were pretty darn competitive other than the Indiana game. And Indiana, you know, this year is an anomaly for them. They will be back.
And are Purdue and Michigan State a little overrated, or they just have bad nights? Or,
you know, I think that Michigan State is overrated. I think they're a collection of athletes who haven't learned how to play as a basketball team yet. Usually Izzo gets them in shape by the end of the year. Purdue is a basketball team. They will be a very good team by the end of the year, and I'm expecting big things out of Purdue. We've got Mark Bartlestein coming up now in a moment, and Mark is holding for us. We're going to get to him in a second. I want to say that I've known Mark for about 30 years, a tremendous point guard while playing for Highland Park High School, and then again in Fraternity Blue football and basketball. One of the best impy athletes I've ever played with. Mark, thanks for joining us. You're on with Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
I owe you a lot of money for that, I got to tell you.
Put
that on my bill.
You know, your kids may not realize what a great player you were back in the day, but you know, if they need a little counseling on this topic, you know, they can call me. I'll tell them you had game.
I'll send them your way.
So how are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. Everything's good. Just kind of busy this time of the year, kind of keeping all of our NBA guys healthy and happy and trying to figure out some of the players you might be interested in for next year.
Excellent. Did you play for Wainwright when you were at Highland Park, or was he already gone?
He came the year after us. Schramm was our coach, and Wainwright came the next year.
And Wainwright, I don't want to bash anybody, but we were at the Northwestern
DePaul
game on Saturday. He looked like a deer in the headlights.
He's a great coach, though. He really is. I didn't see the game, and I don't know. I heard Northwestern got him pretty good, but and that's obviously a tough game for DePaul to lose, but he's a great basketball guy. He really is. He knows the game, and he's great with the kids. I think the players love playing for him. It's just, you know, I think DePaul is a tough place to recruit right now because, you know, the camp, you know, not playing the games on campus and having to play your home games so far away, I think it makes it tough, and I think it's, he's you know, you're in the Big East and you got to go up against those kind of schools, and now what's happened here in Chicago, and you know, Northwestern's coming back a little bit, and you know, Jimmy Collins having success at UIC and Illinois. It's hard to recruit when you don't have that atmosphere at home, you know.
Do you see any kids on the current Illinois squad who may have a future in either Europe or the NBA?
You know, I think there's, you know, guys are developing. I think, you know, Dimitri is obviously shown he can shoot the ball, he can score. You know, I think this, you know, he's only a sophomore. I think his game will continue to evolve. He's made, you know, he's obviously made huge steps in the last year and a half. You know, Tisdale's an interesting guy, and you know, he's got great size. Mike Davis is playing well, so you know, they're a team. They're so young, and you got to give these guys a chance to emerge. You know, everybody wants kids to come right out of high school and be ready to go to the NBA, and those guys are few and far between. There's very few players that do that. You know, most players are going to take 3 or 4 years to develop, and I think Bruce is doing a really good job bringing these guys along.
Mark Scott Bosley, nice to meet you. Even though my name is first on the show, I'm Mr. G's sidekick as usual. Give us an idea how your business works. I know there's got to be some rules involved with the NCAA when you can first start talking to players or families to get them, you know, under your roof, so to speak.
Sure. Well, we really don't get involved with kids very early at all. It's just our philosophy. We like taking kids that are a little more mature. I've gone through the college experience for a couple of years. You know, that's not to say that if the right guy was there who was coming out after his freshman year that we wouldn't consider it. But by and large, our clients have consisted of guys that have at least gone through that junior year. And most of our guys have actually been seniors, that we've recruited. And really what we do is we go through the family and the coaching staff. We think it's the best way to do it. We don't want to go through some of the backdoor channels you hear about all the time. We contact the coaches, let them know so we might have interest in, try to do our research, find out more about the kid and his family and who's in his inner circle. Is he the kind of guy that we'd like to represent from a character standpoint? And then we try to build a relationship from there.
Tell us about how you started your business. And I remember Hot Rod Williams was one of your breakthrough clients.
Sure.
And the contract you negotiated as a sixth man at the time was probably one of the biggest contracts ever negotiated.
Yeah, it was a long time ago now. It's hard to believe. But, you know, we just started the business, you know, really just trying to find the right kind of kids. And it's like any business, really. If you try to do a good job for your clients, they're the greatest sales tools that you have, and our clients have been tremendously loyal to us in referring their teammates and their friends and guys that you know, they may compete against, and that's really been word of mouth more than anything else. It's, you know, it's like having a restaurant. If you serve good food, people are gonna come back, and so we just try to get the right kind of kids, and also I think trying to do it hopefully the right way where coaches out there will trust that we're not trying to, you know, to destroy programs and not try and have kids leave before they should be leaving for the NBA or the NFL. And working through the coaches, I think, has been a big help for us.
We read a lot about players who have signed contracts and then a few years down the road, they're out of the game, they fall on hard times, and you wonder how did this happen, because they should have been set for life. So do you go beyond just contract negotiations, helping these guys with, you know, financing and risk management strategies and long-term, you know, planning for them so that won't happen?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, a big part, everyone looks at sort of the contracts we negotiate is sort of your number one job, but really it's managing a player's career. You know, it's because the contract negotiation takes place, and then you got to go to work every day, and you got to manage your life, manage your career, you know, through all the ups and downs that come with being a professional athlete. We don't directly get involved in managing their money. It's not something, I think if there's a conflict of interest there for us, but we do take a very proactive approach, kind of being a big brother, looking over their shoulder and looking at the people that they're working with and making sure things are being done the right way. And often, you know, we'll refer guys to you know, people in the financial world that have worked with a number of our clients in the past that have had success. So we get them very involved in terms of just trying to make sure they're being managed by good people. But we don't directly do that ourselves.
Have you ever had a kid who you've counseled to stay in school who's left early and really just fell on his face?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the most part, they've listened. You know, we've had a lot of kids that have gone back and listened. You know, Adam Morrison's a client of ours, and he wanted to come out after his sophomore year, went back his junior year, and you know, became the player of the year in the country. We've had a lot of guys that have kind of gone down that path, and they've listened. There are some kids that just had their heart set on coming out, and it turned out to not be the right decision.
Give us an example of a kid who you really thought would have just benefited so much from staying in school.
Oh gosh, you know, I hate to mention names because it's just you know, some of them are guys we may actually still we're representing. You know? So
I hear you.
But I just think that it's, you know, what people don't understand is the NBA is in the NFL. It's a business. I mean, it is the relationship that these kids have in college with the coaches and with their teammates is far different than anything that they will have in professional sports. In professional sports, the coaches don't really have time to counsel you and pull you aside and mentor you and bring you along. They're not really interested in it. They're interested in winning the game tomorrow. And if you're not helping them win the game, they'll find someone else that will. And it's a very cold business. And not only being physically ready, but being emotionally ready to take that step is what a lot of guys don't understand. And most of our guys, you know, it's funny, we talk to them now, and the best times of their lives, and these are guys who might be making, you know, $50, $60, $100 million and doing great, but the enjoyment they get from playing the game now is nowhere near what it was, what they had in college and high school. It's a different thing. It's a business now. And that's what I try to get kids to understand. Don't run away from that, because once it's gone, you can't get it back.
You know, it's interesting. The other day you said something to me, and it really speaks to your character and how you approach things, in that you wouldn't take a certain kid on because you thought there was a conflict of interest there, and you may have another client who was competing for the same type of role with similar teams, and you didn't want to represent a couple kids. Are other agents like that, or are you unique in this business?
Well, I think there's, you know, different people have different philosophies. You know, there's some that just you know, they like to do a lot of volume, and they'll try and do a lot of volume, and it's just sort of like, you know, the teams are going to take who they can. You know, I think there are other people that look at it. Way we try to look at it is, look, you know, for a player who's going in the draft, you know, this is his moment. He's worked his whole life to have this opportunity, and he wants to get drafted as high as he can and get drafted by the right team, the right situation. And if you're representing someone in that draft who he's directly competing with for one of those positions, to me, that's a tough thing to do, because there's an inherent conflict of interest, and ultimately that player is kind of putting he's putting all his dreams in your hands, and he's counting on you to get him to the right place. And I have a hard time looking at a kid and his family and saying, we're going to do that, and then take on the guy he's directly competing with.
Who are your highest, and these are public record, these numbers are public record, but who are your five highest paid players that you're currently representing right now?
Our highest paid guys? Well, in the NBA, it's probably, Danny Granger, Brad Miller.
By the way, the Miller contract was a brilliant job on your part.
Oh, he's a good player, though. He's been an all-star, and you know, he's kind of, you know, not the most athletic guy in the world, but people don't realize how effective he is.
Bob says not to be outdone by the Brian Cardinal contract.
And that's got a little Illini ties there.
Right, right. His dad's a great guy. I'm sure you guys have gotten to know him.
Mo Williams was a big contract for
you. Mo Williams is another big one. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Who else? You got Brian. You got Mo. I don't have my list all in front of me.
I mean, Posey's up there.
Oh, yeah, Posey's up there. Mikey Moore's up there. Ron Artest deal. So there's we got a good group of guys.
How many kids are you representing in basketball right now?
In the NBA, we've got 44 guys in the NBA.
44. And how many in Europe?
In Europe, probably about another 40 or 50.
And is it starting to get to a point right now where Europe is really almost as good an option as the NBA for many of these kids?
I would say it's as good an option. I think there are some opportunities in Europe that are terrific places to play, where financially they can get close to competing with the NBA, but there's not many. You know, for 99% of the time, you're going to choose an NBA deal over a European deal. But the market in Europe is getting better. It's getting more competitive. The leagues are getting more competitive, and it is creating more alternatives for the players, which is great. It's great to have alternatives. But it's, you know, economically over there, you know, you're relying on a contract with an organization that's funding changes month to month, and you know, when you sign a contract in the NBA, you know you're going to get paid. You don't have to worry about going to the bank every month to cash your check, and that issue still sits out there in Europe quite a bit.
Absolutely. What are the best leagues in Europe to play in?
The best league is Spain, the ACB league in Spain. That's the number one league in Europe. It's the most professional, and it's the most competitive, and it's filled with great players. After that, I would say the Italian league, the Greek league, those would probably be next, and then probably Russia. The Russian league has improved greatly the last couple of years.
Any Illini that you currently represent, either
sure,
NBA
yeah.
or overseas, basketball, or you do football, right, also?
Yep. No, we've got Luther Head, Brian Cook, James Augustine, Robert Archibald,
Kiwan Garris.
Kiwan's had a great career over there. So,
what does a guy like Kiwan make every year?
Again, I don't know that he wants me to give exact numbers, but he's well into six figures. You know, I mean, he's made a real nice living over there, and he's been in the upper six figures often, and just a great kid. Works his tail off, and Kiwan's someone that, and this is again, I think for players that do go to Europe, a big part of being successful in Europe is getting to the point where you can accept being over there and sort of get yourself indoctrinated into the atmosphere and the community and the culture and buy into all those things. A lot of times, players go over there and they're like, well, I'm just going to make some money and I'll come back to the NBA. And usually that attitude doesn't work. And what Kiwan has done is he's really become engrossed, like I said, in the entire culture over there. And he's loved over there. He's a fan favorite. He's had a great career and he's bought into, being a professional and handling things the right way.
So we've got an email for you from Bert Levy, the publisher of North Shore Magazine.
Okay.
First of all, he says, great show. Give my best to Bart. He wants details on Josh's recruitment, your son, who's attending prep school out east and a very fine player in his own right. And what is the latest scoop on your son?
He's doing well. He's actually doing well. I just got done talking a few minutes ago. They're 3-0 out there, and he's leading the team in scoring and assists. And I'm actually going to go watch him play on Wednesday. They're playing like number one team in the country. So he's doing good, and his recruiting has picked up. He's got a lot of programs talking to him, and we're hoping to get that figured out in the next month or so.
And do you expect him to be playing D1 ball?
Yeah, I think he's definitely D1 at this point, yeah.
Well, congratulations. It'll save you a few dollars, too.
Hopefully.
Have you seen any of these, like, high school kids that are highly touted? And you know, is a kid like Jeremy Richmond, who you see as a junior,
right.
Is that kid scream out to you that he's an NBA player someday, or?
I'm not one of those that likes to jump on early and say those things because so much changes with these guys. You know, some kids mature early and some kids, they peak early. But when you watch Jeremy play, he's got all the physical attributes. I mean, he's an off the charts athlete. He gets off the floor so quick. He's got a great feel for the game. He's got a real pace. The game just kind of slows down for him. So I think if he really works at it, he's certainly a guy who's going to have an opportunity. But, to be a junior in high school and, to me it's like, let's be the best high school player we can be before we worry about the NBA.
Right.
But he's certainly someone that, the Illini fans should be excited about. He's got a chance to be a heck of a player.
I've got a bet with one of your fraternity brothers that John Shire is going to score 500 points in the NBA. Do you like my bet at this point?
I'm a huge fan of John and his family. It's tough. John, I mean, a lot of it just comes down to being in the right place. John can shoot the ball, and people always need guys who can shoot it, and he's got a great feel. He's a terrific passer.
I think he's a better all-around player than Redick, frankly. I mean, I think he's a little more athletic than Redick was.
Yeah, I think so. I think Redick, though, was, Redick is one of the great college shooters of all time. You know what I mean? I mean, Redick shot the ball. I mean, defenses went out there every night, completely designed to do everything they could to stop him. They still couldn't stop him from making shots. I mean, he was an incredible shot maker as a college player. John, I think, is a better all-around player. But, you know, we'll see what happens. He's having a great year, and, you know, he's got another year next year. I think he's added things to his game every year, and nothing John does would surprise me. He's got, to me, the greatest part of John is his, he's got an unbelievable competitive fire. And,
yeah, he is a great kid.
Sets his mind to doing things. He finds a way to get it done.
So give us, your top five NBA prospects in your mind who are currently playing college ball.
Oh, God. I couldn't even, I wouldn't even know where to tell you. We were kind of breaking down different guys they were interested in. Top five. I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, there's so many kids out there right now. You know, I think, where would I go with it?
What about any of the North Carolina kids?
I mean, all of them. I mean, their point guard is playing lights out. I mean, they're 10 deep. I mean, their second unit would certainly be a,
well, their second unit, I think, would win the Big Ten.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, they're so talented. It's unbelievable. And a lot of people question, whatchamacallit, the big kid.
Hansborough.
Yeah, you know, people question him, his athleticism. I mean, that kid's got a motor that just is unbelievable, and he will be successful wherever he plays. And I think people make a big mistake. They don't understand how good he's got to be to do what he does every night. You know, he reminds me a lot of, you know, the kid Heron Gotti on Notre Dame.
Who's the kid who's a freshman? Is it Wright or Davis? The lanky 6'10 freshman for North Carolina. This kid is off the charts athletic.
Yeah, he gets whoever he wants there. I mean, they got the talent level there is incredible.
By the way, we have breaking news for you. And Boz is a devout Cub fan. I don't know about you, Bart. Are you a Cub or Sox fan?
Definitely Sox fan.
Yeah, I'm a Sox fan as well. Breaking news.
I think it's a North Sure thing.
The breaking news.
There wasn't many of us Sox fans growing up, trust me. Yeah. There was about five of us.
Well, I'm a Sox fan by marriage.
I'm glad you finally admitted that.
Ron Sano did not make the Hall of Fame.
Poor guy.
Boz is breaking down right now.
No, I have opinions on that. I think that whole thing's watered down. He was a great player, but not a Hall of Fame player. There needs to be a line drawn, and he's a little below it.
But go ahead, Bart.
No, I feel, but you just, you know, you're probably right. But the guy, with everything he's gone through, you'd love to see him get it. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, when he finished
to the game, you know?
He was the dominant national third baseman of his era. And by the way, you know, you do look at contributions to the game other than on the field as well.
Did anybody make it?
I don't know, but this is breaking news just off the wire.
It is disappointing because he is a good guy and he loves the game and his team and all that. But, you know, we could have another show about all the Hall of Fames and who's in and who's not.
Who do you guys represent in football, Bart?
Oh, gosh. We've got, you know, Kurt Warner's one of our guys. You know, Jake DeLome, you know, Kevin Mawai, Alan Faneca,
Richard Mendenhall.
You know, we've got Tony Paschos from Illinois. You know, we've got a really good group of guys. The same thing. We try to. It's about character. It's getting the right kind of guys, and they refer. You know, AJ Hawk, another terrific character guy.
Because you don't want to get a phone call at 3 in the morning.
He gets those anyways.
Get me traded, you know. We get those at 3 in the morning.
You know what?
Well, that's better than the other calls.
Well, the
I
other
guess.
Call that I love is the one from the car dealer. I'm negotiating the purchase of a car. What do I do now?
No, but our guys are pretty good. You know, that we don't get that. Long time, 20 years ago, I got a lot more of that than I do now.
Well, Bart, I don't want to pat you on the back or anything, but of all the guys I know in your business, and I know a few, there's nobody with a better reputation. You do it the right way. There are kids who are recruits. There are players who listen to our show. If you're listening out there, he's your guy. Bart, pleasure having you on the show.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll talk to you soon, Scott.
See you, man.
See you.
That was Mark Bartlestein, super agent, the number two agent in all of sports, according to ESPN, the magazine, and also an Illini alumnus and really a terrific guy, somebody who we all should be very proud of. He carries the colors well for us and does things the right way. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. We'll be back in a moment.
You make plans for just about everything, for the weekend, for the vacation, for your daughter's wedding. But have you created a financial plan for the rest of your life? Now may be the perfect time to do it. AXA, Financial Protection. For more information, call Stephen King, Financial Consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to five vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
The website that gives you some real excitement without charging you by the minute.
It really is a lot of fun.
TalkZone.com.
Hello, Illini Nation. This is Coach Bruce Weber, and you're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
We're back talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Got an email from Ted from Champaign asking a little bit more about Tyler Griffey. Is he a three or a four? Where do we see him fitting in? And great question, Ted. And this is going to be up for debate. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of hearing about 6'8", 6'9", guys or taller who have the ability to step out and shoot from 12, 15 feet. Because what that says to me is that he's not tough enough to play down low, and we need two guys to play down low, whether it's three guards or another forward and two guards. I like to play inside out. I like to have a couple guys who can bang and play with their back to the basket. That is why I'm still high on Semerau. Frankly, Semerau, this is his first year playing, and it's a brand new position for him, and I think he's doing fine now. I think Bruce is doing a great job with him and Tisdale, the combination, and I'm kind of hoping that along with Simpson, that Griffey will be develop into more of a down low player than a guy that steps out and shoots from the wing. We're going to have plenty of guys like that with McCamey and Legion and Davis, and then Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson, Joseph Bertrand, Crandall Head, Jeremy Richmond. Excuse me. So plenty of wing shooters. I'm gonna, you know, I would like to think and see that ultimately Tyler Griffey's gonna be a big guy playing mostly down within the paint area.
A breakout big man, somebody who's athletic and tall and strong. Davis has the ability to grow into that position, but right now he's not strong enough yet. I want to see somebody who can really dominate in the paint and has a skill level that allows him to dominate in the paint and the strength to hold his position down.
Right, and I'm not sure we have that person in the program.
It's not Semerau, that's for sure.
You know, I'm not sure it's going to be Tisdale. There's this other kid, Myers Leonard, that's in the class with Jeremy and Crandall. And, you know, he might be a similar Tisdale.
I think Leonard was a reach, and I think that we may have offered him too soon.
Right. But we needed a big guy. That's why we didn't commit to Lenzel Smith.
You know what? I would have rather gone small. I would have rather waited. I think that was an early trigger on the part of the coaching staff.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at the numbers, somebody's going to have to leave in order for that scholarship to be fulfilled, whether it's by their own transferring because they're not playing, or someone leaves and goes pro early, or someone doesn't qualify. You know, if everybody stays, we're going to be one above the limit, including Myers Leonard, when that class comes in. But that's a couple years down the road. Let's, Mr. G, you have mentioned several times your relationship with the family of Jeremy Richmond, and I was out on Friday night in Northbrook to watch Jeremy and his Waukegan Bulldogs play the Spartan of Dave Weber in Glenbrook North. And first of all, let me kudos to Glenbrook North. I think Dave Weber's a fine coach. He runs the motion offense, and a lot of times they run it a lot better than the Fighting Illini. He does have a couple kids that are D1 players. One is unfortunately hurt, and I'm not sure if he's going to make it back this year because he had back surgery. And another kid, I think, is Dragovich, I think, is a junior.
Junior, yes.
But he had a real nice game, popping out and hitting his shots and then going to the basket and getting
they
some
had
bounce 30, passes.
They had 30 turnovers in a high school game.
Well, that's because they could break the press. And where I'm going with this is I will ask you to use your power, make a phone call, and try to light a little more fire under Jeremy. I went with an unbiased fan, a friend of mine who has no allegiances to any of these schools or any big-time university. And for three-quarters of the game, he looked at me and said, well, Boz, you know, I could see the talent, but this guy is not playing. He doesn't hustle in transition, and he's just kind of laying around the outside. Waukegan was down 10.
A much different opinion than we got from Mark Bartelstein, who's paid to give his opinion and paid to know what talent looks like.
Right. No. Well, no, it's clear that the talent's there, but everyone, and Mark is not going to, I don't think, you know, especially on the air, be ripping potential clients. The fact of the matter is, Jeremy, I've never seen him in, like, a championship AAU game with the top talent from the country. I would like to see that because I just want to see him play hard the entire time on the floor and dominate. You know, going back to when we were in high school and like Thornridge had undoubtedly the best team and the best players, you know, they didn't give anybody a chance to stay in the game. They were winning by 20, 25 at halftime.
You had four Division I players on that team.
Well, they got two, and that's good enough, and Colin Nickerson is not a bad player.
Yeah, my math tells me that's 50% of the number of Division I players.
So
and
what
you had a
happened?
Future College Hall of Famer in Quinn Buckner on the team, and you know what?
Right.
Let's not compare apples to oranges.
Okay.
But what I will say this is in conversations that I've had off the air with Bart, he said the same thing about Jeremy. He said that the kid has got amazing talent.
He's unquestionable.
Great athletic ability. You know what? Leave him alone. Let him be a high school kid. Don't expect him to be an NBA player in the 11th grade.
I don't. But all I expect him to do is play hard on every possession. And there were a couple times also where he would kind of, you know.
I think your ire should be directed at Dimitri McCammy, who's already
a sophomore
in college and really doesn't play every possession.
But I agree with you there, and this is where, you know, next time we get Coach Weber on, we're going to ask this question, because coaches, you know, do you shy away from those guys, or do you think, well, once I get them, I'll make them into my player, and as you can see, it's taken Coach a little time to get McCamey into the fold there. And I said the same thing the first time I saw McCamey in high school. Now, remember, he had Evan Turner, and he had a guy ahead of him named Peoples, who's on Notre Dame. And they're playing St. Viator in Arlington Heights. They should be up 20 points. It's fourth quarter. They're up like 5-6 points. They have a Hall of Fame coach. calls a timeout. They come to the bench. The coach is trying to talk to him, and he's in his face, and McKamey just ignored him. And I looked at my buddies I'm with. I'm going, you're kidding me. That's the guy we're getting, you know. But I figured, Bruce will get him to play hard, and now we are where we are with him. I'm not down on him. He's got talent, and that's an area he's got to improve. Same thing with Jeremy. Now, the upside
any given high school game, stuff like that can happen. If you look at junior year, that Rose's junior year, they had, you know, 3-4 Division I players on that team. They were playing Billy Cole's team with the short little guard on the other side of Cole. And Cole and Peoria stayed with them the entire game and lost by 1 point in one of the worst played games in the
right,
history of the
state.
Right,
but I don't think anyone would ever accuse Derrick Rose of not playing hard every time he's on the court.
I'm just saying that anything could happen in a high school game.
And I love Jeremy. I mean, he's going to be great, and I'm a big fan, but this is the one thing he needs improvement on, and everybody, I'm sure, has been telling him this. And this night, I was a little surprised and disappointed because I heard the week before when they started the season in the tournament at Waukegan that this wasn't a factor, this wasn't a problem, that he had kind of grown out of it. But Friday night, it was a little back to the same. Now, the upside. Plenty of upside. Number one, I hadn't seen him since last spring in some AAU stuff locally, and he looks much stronger. There's definition in his shoulders and his arms and his calves. Got a ways to go, but he definitely looked different, bigger, stronger. I like that. That's the first thing I noticed going into the gym. Second thing is the fans have to understand who haven't seen Jeremy play is he's almost like a point guard, and he sometimes plays with that mentality. He's a terrific passer and thinks pass first. And so he's not necessarily going to get 30 points a game or whatever. But on the other hand, the first half when they were down 10, 12 points the whole half, a lot of times he'd just be up top, pass the ball, not move, whatever, be standing, waiting for a pass back to catch and shoot. Wasn't happening, wasn't cutting to the basket. Wasn't finally till the fourth quarter when they were, decided they wanted to win the game. They posted him up, and he got all his points in the paint. They posted him up, and he started dominating with dunks and getting fouled and free throws and all that.
In the meantime, I think the coaches are telling him, this is your role on the team. Let the game come to you. And I really think they're misusing Jeremy. Jeremy Richmond is Tracy McGrady. He's a guy who should have the ball in his hand at the top of the key. Let him create off the dribble. Let him use his size to pass over smaller players who are guiding him out in space. And let him be the player he's going to be. In this offense, on this team, the coaches are really underutilizing him. They're making him play down low. They're minimizing his role, and they're stifling his development.
Well, they throw a variety out there. They're not totally minimizing it. Like I said, they put him down low in the fourth quarter only because that was, he hadn't had a basket from outside the paint. I agree with you. His game is up top or in the wing. Catch and shoot, dribble, drive, pull up, and then crashing the boards from the wing slasher. Not necessarily, at 6'6", 6'7", he isn't going to be posting guys in college, unless they're a lot shorter than him. Now, one thing Mark said, which is absolutely true, and part of the beauty of his game, is he not only can jump high, but jumps quick. And as you know, there's a difference there, and
well,
that's
Davis
very,
does that
very
well, too.
Important.
I like Davis's jumping ability as well.
Yeah, so it was a fun game. What Glenbrook North was winning most of the game. Waukegan was down by 10 with about 2 minutes to go. They started pressing, got some turnovers, got some three-pointers, and the game was tied. And a kid from Waukegan, I believe his name is Connor, last name Connor, number 24, hit a three at the buzzer to win it for Waukegan. I'm not sure if they deserve to win, a heartbreaker for the Spartans of Glenbrook North.
Okay, so a team turns the ball over 30 times and they deserve to win?
Well, they were winning the whole game by 12, 15 points, But it was a fun game, packed house, pretty fast-paced action, and the beauty of high school sports, the beauty and the innocence as well.
So, Boz, let's talk about the idea that first proffered on this show, and we're going to come back after a break, and that idea was the President's Cup as a replacement trophy for the Sweet Sue Tomahawk. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Email us at talkingillini at yahoo.com. Again, that's talkingillini at yahoo.com. Or call us at 888-463-6748. We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The big 50,000 terabyte voice of the big business of talking.
Well, go on. Talk.
TalkZone.com. You're Talking Illini on Talk Zone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Boz and Mr. G. Talking Illini, TalkZone.com. Last quarter of the show today, 888-463-6748 or TalkingIllini at Yahoo.com. Do we want to pick an email winner yet, Mr. G? We've got a few good emails.
You know,
from some new people, new fans every week. It's such a warm, fuzzy, bubbly feeling.
We do. I don't know if they're fans, but they're people who are listening to the show. You know, we've got a couple more minutes left. I'm holding out for really a stupendous call
from somebody out in the
netherworld.
Before we talk about the Grapefruit Cup, or the President's Cup, rather, I just want to ask you this question.
By the way, don't ever refer to it that way again.
I will
leap across the table.
Across?
Across the table.
And claw me.
And rip your shirt off if you ever refer to it that way.
It's just what I envisioned that first day. I have no creative side of my head. Did Northwestern get hosed not playing a New Year's Day bowl? I mean, Iowa, they have a two-game better record than Iowa, I believe, and they beat Iowa at Iowa. The only reason I could think of is because Iowa travels better. Is that the answer?
It's all about the money. You know, I don't care what sport, what area of life you're in. You know, it's about the money, honey. And all that talk is so much trash until you see the cash. Iowa brings people, and Northwestern doesn't travel very well. And you know what? That's what's going to sell tickets to a bowl game, and that's what these people are going to do.
Like a guy in a movie or Jerry Maguire or something. But, okay, that's the answer. I mean, I think it'll be a good game, Northwestern-Missouri.
They'll certainly give them a better game than
we did.
Yeah.
Well, I think their defense will attack a little more ferociously with that cat-like attitude.
And that's the one thing I want to see next year. I don't want to see another year of us playing this conservative defense, this bend-but-don't-break style, where we're basically hoping to keep games close and not playing to win. I don't want to play not to lose anymore. That's what we did this year.
Well, and especially, and then we could go to the Cup, especially because guys like Vontae are strong enough to play up and play tough on the receivers. And I read recently where, I don't know if you want to call it his stock is slipping or whatever, but someone had him like the ninth best cornerback, which I don't think would get him in the first or maybe the second round.
He's going to be a top 15 pick.
Okay, so put that to bed. There's no chance of him coming back. But, again, you know, he was good enough to play uptight And when guys are covered early, it takes away those short routes. Then the quarterback hesitates. The line gets a little chance, a better chance to get in for a sack. But we were playing back and giving them short stuff. Right. Enough said.
Notwithstanding Boz's lack of creativity, what I did was I had an architect who's a friend of mine, U of I class of 1980, graduated with his master's from Yale in 83. And I gave him the ideas and the design for the cup, and he's drawn it up for me, and it's on our website at TalkZone.com, along with a letter from me. The letter is as follows. Now that the Sweet Stew Tomahawk has been retired, I thought I could come up with a replacement trophy with the help of Andy Coghlan of OKW, 1980, Yale 83. I've proposed the President's Cup as an alternative for the winner of each year's Northwestern Illinois football game. The cup is silver, half football, with the names of the four presidents who have resided in Illinois, Lincoln, Grant, Reagan, and Obama, engraved on the four sections of the cup. The chancellor has warmly embraced the idea. I'm waiting to hear back from Ron Gunther, although I have talked to him about it. I think it'll appeal to Northwestern people as well. It's politically correct. It's inspirational in light of Obama's victory and in light of the great presidents who come from the state of Illinois, including two out of the top four presidents as voted by the American public of all time in Reagan and Abraham Lincoln. And I think it's only fitting that this type of cup serve as a replacement for the Sweet Sue Tomahawk.
Mr. G, I got to hand it to yourself. You hand it to you or yourself. You've outdone yourself once again. You took vision and made it reality, and the people in the decision-making process down at the U of I have acknowledged, I hesitate to say totally embraced it. We'll see if it's the winner. There's going to be other submissions and other ideas. And from what I understand, we'll explain to the fans that this will be brought to a committee of both Illinois and Northwestern people together. And I don't know when they're going to make a decision. But again, we encourage fans to go on TalkZone.com and then click sports and click Talking Illini. Scroll down a bit and you'll see a picture of the cup, what we're talking about. If you like the idea, if you like it, you can email Ron Gunther and tell him you like it. I think Ron Gunther's email is on FightingIllini.com for the public. So that's not a problem. It would be very thrilling and exciting if they adopted Mr. G's concept here. And I don't
would
know
not be the first time the athletic department has adopted a concept that we've
proposed. It would be the first time since we're on the air yet, and maybe somehow we could benefit.
For those of you who don't know, the four panels of Illinois greats was my idea, and when those panels were up at the Memorial Stadium before the renovation of Memorial Stadium, they originally went up in conjunction with the Bears playing at Memorial Stadium. And that year we had Grange, Butkus, Hallis, and J.C. Caroline, four great players who played for the University of Illinois and the Chicago Bears. We thought the synergy and the connection was obvious. The university and the athletic department agreed. Those boards went up 30 feet high. And several years later, new names were added, but the concept remained the same, and they're now in storage waiting for a new home somewhere on Memorial Stadium after the South End Zone is complete.
And speaking of that, you know, most people think the Bears are orange and blue because George Halas, you know, loved the university. Not totally true. The reason they are is because the university got new uniforms one year, and Halas didn't want to pay for some for his team, so he just got the old ones.
Well, isn't that because the Illinois is orange and blue? So it was because Illinois was orange and blue, and there was a relationship and a connection between the university and Halas, that's why they're orange and blue.
Right.
By the way,
Halas didn't want to pay for new uniforms. He took old ones.
Zupke did not like Halas because he stole his best player, Red Grange, after Red Grange's third year.
It happens, you know.
That was the first time it happened, where a guy went pro early.
We don't like another school to the southeast of us because they stole one of our players.
So you've been following the top 25 list of the great Chicago athletes of all time. There are at least three Illinois athletes in the Sun-Times that have been listed in that. I believe Buddy Young has been listed, Ray Nitschke, and Lou Boudreau. And numbers 2 and 1, which were going to be announced during the next 2 weeks, will also be Illinois guys, and they will be... Well, in order, prediction of order, Dick Butkus and Red Grange will be number one.
the what they call him, the Wheeling Wheaton. Wheaton Wonder?
No, he was the Wheaton Iceman.
Okay.
Or the Galloping Ghost.
Okay.
As you will note from our opening of the show.
Right, I did note that. So next week, we got Hawaii tonight and Chicago State, and then we're off for finals, so we should be 9-1.
What is Chicago State's nickname, by the way?
I want to say Cougars.
Sounds correct. So we go from Rainbow Warriors to Cougars, and then our next game is the Missouri game or Detroit?
No, there's Detroit on Saturday, and then which hopefully Legion might be able to play. And then the following Tuesday, I believe, is the Missouri game.
It's predicated on two things. Legion has to receive his grades from the university, and those grades have to be passing grades.
Yeah, well, I assume that that'll happen, and we'll see him on, I think it's Saturday, the 20th. So, again, the volleyball team meets the Sweet 16 and Don Harden's swan song.
They have no chance of getting past. They can actually win this game or this match, but
break it down for us.
The Elite Eight playing number
Penn
one
State
rated
at Penn State.
Penn State is where the buck stops.
Well, they've done that before, I assume, and probably haven't done too well. But kudos, they made it this far. That's terrific. So. Want to go? How many minutes left do we have?
Well,
I can't see the clock.
Parting shots. Let's talk about Mike Loxley. Mike has been a tremendous asset to this program. I just want to go on record as saying that the family atmosphere that he promoted, the kids looking to him as a father figure, will sadly be missed by this team, by this university. His achievements and accomplishments should not be underestimated. Those people who want to push Loxley out the door because the offense did not perform up to their standards for the year may rue the day that they wanted that to happen. In looking at our offense, we've been in great standing in terms of our ability to rush the ball over a four-year period with a little bit of a drop-off this year, more closely associated with a drop-off in talent on the offensive line and at the running back position than in his play calling. The one area that I thought he really let down on this year, though, was after the Wisconsin game when teams started to blitz us up the middle. We never really adapted and made changes that addressed those conditions and addressed the fact that people were blitzing up the middle on Juice Williams and giving him a lot of problems. He obviously didn't like throwing with people in his face, and we never made fundamental changes that cured that ill.
Well, that's all not necessarily all on him. It's the offensive line coach also. But, yeah, I mean, he's been great for the program. The program has made even though this is a little step backwards, maybe it's, you know, the old two, three steps forward, one step back. Certainly from, you know, the end of Turner's era and the beginning of Zook's, we've made huge strides. Loxley's been an integral part of that. He deserves this New Mexico job if indeed he has it. And as we talked at the beginning, I think it probably is a pretty good fit, and it won't. Hopefully for him, won't be the last head coaching job he gets. The next one might be a little bigger and better.
If you run a great program, you're going to have great coaches, and those coaches are going to move on. Case in point being our former friend in Bill Self, who went on to greener pastures at Kansas. Took with him some very good assistants in Norm Roberts and Billy Gillespie. Also had Jankovic, the current coach at Illinois State, on that staff. Those people left. Everyone thought there'd be a huge fallout in terms of Kansas. There was not. Those players moved on. He had built a program that was self-sustaining, and that's what Zook is doing at Illinois. He's building relationships with high school coaches that are there to stay. He is manipulated and worked those relationships to a point where as long as Zook stays at Illinois, we will continue to recruit great players. He will bring in guys who not only have talent in terms of coaching ability, but talent in terms of recruiting as well. Already our friend at the Maryland High School coach,
Craig Jeffries,
has thrown his hat in the ring for Loxley's job. He said if they want to hire a replacement who can do the job, who can continue with the pipeline, I'm your guy. What do you think about Jeffries as a potential OC?
That's fine with me. You know, we'll see what unfolds in the next month or two. It's a critical time, obviously. Signing day is, I think, the second Wednesday in February or something. And that really isn't that far away. But, you know, maybe this is something Zooks talked to Jeffries about. Because, again, this isn't a surprise. It was anticipated that this year or next would probably be Loxley's last. And hopefully Zook and Gunther have a plan in place for a smooth transition.
I like where the program's at. I think that we can sustain a loss like Loxley at this point in the program. I think that the foundation is there for winning football in the future. I think that the coaching staff learned some valuable lessons from this year's team. They learned about being accountable. They learned about execution. If you're not accountable, both players and coaches, if you don't come ready to execute, you're not going to win big games. And it's interesting, as much as I don't like Nick Saban as a human being, what he said after the game, I thought he was very tactful. I thought he was very contrite. He said, listen, you know, there are a lot of teams with talent out there. It comes down to executing at big games, at crucial moments of those big games. And we didn't execute at crucial moments in a big game. Well, I could say that of our team as well this year. There were critical moments throughout this season when we had the opportunity to make plays, and we didn't make those plays. It's time to be accountable, and accountability means execution and effort and preparation. And I fully expect that from next year's team. It's been a pleasure spending time with you, Boz. ILL.
I.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.